So it's no crumbs left, and I'm sitting aside. No crumbs left, kid. And what's fun is that how the podcast got started was that you and I wanted to have a conversation, and we wanted to find a conscious way to do it where we didn't have people on looking and saying whatever they might say. And that, like most things in my life, happens where it's not that I have a plan, it's that something unravels, and it's become, I mean, now we're many episodes in, and yeah. Thank you for the gift of this.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because I remember it that way, but I also was like, for months before this, was really trying to get you to do another podcast. Somebody had invited us onto their podcast, and I was really trying to get you to do it. And we still, as a matter of fact, have to do that one.
And we'd like to do it.
We do. I love doing podcasts. But my friend's mother passed away, and she was an author, and they had this beautiful recording of them talking together. And I was listening to it, and I just thought, you know, what a beautiful gift to have. That if somebody you love and cherish passes away, you have this recording of, you know, the two of you having a conversation. And I thought, like, I just thought it was something that, you know, at the end of my life, I want to have us having a conversation on tape together because that seems special.
That.
So I thought we should do a podcast.
I don't have a lot of my mom recorded. I mean, yeah. I remember after my mom died, when I think about this, oh, my God, it is so emotional. Yeah. I saved this message, and it was at the end of her life, and she had no life force left. It was just a sad, awful message. And I had it for years on my phone, and then one day, I erased it by accident. And I just remembered, like, I was totally panicked. Like, how could I erase this message? You know. But I also feel, in retrospect, that message isn't who she was.
Right.
She wasn't that. She was so much more than that, and that was her most diminished self. And I want to say, you know, as I go further into my mom being gone 18 years, like, she's just with me all the time. She's here with us. She's so big, and she's everywhere. So yeah. I didn't need that, you know, crappy little message. But when I think about that moment, it's a little bit heartbreaking.
Yeah, we did have a recording of her doing something in the house, though, on like a little machine.
Yep. She'd be like,
what was she?
Whatever
happens every day, you gotta know it's really okay.
Cause
I love you, and come what may. It's okay.
It's a Patty Turner moment.
I remember
right there,
like, sitting in the closet, which is kind of ironic.
Yeah.
And just playing that over and over again, thinking, gosh, this is probably the best song I've ever heard.
It's interesting because, you know, there are certain times of year that can be hard, and certainly hard for people who've lost people that they love. And, you know, boy, going through death, and it's just 18 years, it takes you so many places. It takes you on a journey you would never, ever imagine. But, you know, here we are together, loving being together. And, you know, she's with us. So that's all I want to say about her today.
Yeah. It's funny because we didn't even really plan to bring her up podcast.
No.
And here we are, and we're just, she's just making herself very known.
She is.
Yeah.
People ask all the time because it's like we have this, you know, special relationship and we get along really well. And people want to know about that. I mean, a part of that is I think that we're lucky and we're born into a family of people that really appreciate each other. My grandmother was this amazing, badass woman who was just way above her times. And she was so cool. And so
original badass.
She was the original badass. She really was. And then my mother, so amazing. And my mother and I had such a wonderful, close relationship, a lot like you and I do. And what's so interesting is my mom's gone, but that you and I continue. And my hope is that, you know, perhaps in your future, yes or no, maybe, and whatever, that you would have a daughter that you would carry that forward with, because it's a pretty cool thing, family, you know, chosen family. We're lucky that we're by blood, but, you know.
We also, there's a choice involved, and we've certainly made it. I think that's part of it, is you have to make the choice.
And what choice did we make?
To be friends and to really deeply love one another.
Right.
Beyond the fact that we are related. It's
right.
Really not even, we look very alike, but it doesn't seem like it's a big part of our relationship. It's just we have committed to loving one another.
We really have.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean we don't have our moments. And people are like, did you and Lucy?
We have our moments.
And people say, what do you and Lucy do when you don't get along? I mean, here's the thing.
We fight.
We love hard and we fight. And we're like, it's like arguing with the same person.
It's like looking in a mirror and arguing with yourself.
And we go and go.
It's
then
like
at
slapping
certain
your
point,
reflection. You just.
And it's usually more of a text fight.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
It's more of a text
and
fight.
And usually you might be Siri-ing it.
I might be Siri-ing it. Yeah. So there might be some misspelled
something
words.
Something about my mom.
Yeah.
She's usually
good.
She's Siri-ing.
It's good. And then at a certain point, we generally agree to disagree. And if we, like, if we've really, a couple times we might have really hurt each other's feelings, like, we would say, I'm really hurt by this, or, but we, I mean, Roy always says, like, in our family, we can just be really going at it, you know, and probably Patrick and I more, but, but then we can, like,
well,
in,
I think
one second
you
later,
and Patrick, you'll, you guys will really go at it. We'll go at it at more, like, really dumb, like,
dumb
just
stuff.
Dumb stuff, where it'll be like, no, that's not what Jennifer said.
Right.
She said the sentence this way, and then we'll get in, and it'll be like, Lucy, and it'll be like, Mom, I...
Sometimes we have philosophical, we might have some philosophical disagreements, or there'll be something I want you to do that you haven't done that I think it's important, and it's not like, I want you to clean your room, but there were, it'll be like, I want you to do this because I think this is important and this matters, and I want you to hear me out. So, but I think we just, we've learned how to recover.
Yeah, well, I think we just, it's kind of like a love languages thing. Like, we just get, we get how each other works. Like, I know, I'm very aware that you... Sometimes I'll say something and you'll get, like, really heated about it in the moment, and then you might need, like, 2 or 3 days to figure out how you feel about something. And I get that because, like, Cece's a little bit like that. Not 2 or 3 days, but, like, she is somebody that needs a little bit of time to just cool off and hear what I'm saying. Whereas I'm a little bit more like, I want to take that in the moment and really reconfigure it, and then let's talk about it in 5 seconds. And so I think we have different sort of styles of fighting, but... We understand each other. Like, I know what yours is and you know what mine is. And so we can figure out a kind of a way to do it in the middle that makes it work for us.
And I think we figured it out. Yeah. I mean, and so, you know.
Now we don't live near each other. So it's just like, if you're going to have, you know, this amount of time with your mom, I just, we don't, there's no use in spending it fighting.
No, absolutely not.
Doesn't make any sense.
We want to enjoy the time. And I think we do.
I think we do. I think we have quite a lovely time together.
So people want to know, when people ask these questions about, you know, did you go through difficult patches with your kids and things like that? And certainly, you know, you do go through difficult patches with your kids. What are some of the things that you think that have helped? You know, I don't know. We have this great relationship, and I don't know that it really we can take credit for it completely, because sometimes.
Oh, we probably can't.
You know what I'm saying?
We can just say what we think we did, but.
Right.
It just, we
sometimes
work
it just,
together.
It works together.
Well, you know? I think there is one thing that you did, and I think it has to do still with making that choice. It's not just that we made the choice towards unconditional love, like, today or yesterday. It's that you made it when I was born and when Patrick was born. And Dad was actually saying this interesting thing about how when you guys had kids, it wasn't that you wanted to have kids to, like, teach the kids things. It was really that you wanted to have kids to be able to say, who is this human being and how can we learn from that human being and who are they? Let's figure out who they are and all of that stuff. And so I think you really took that attitude into parenting me, and I think Patrick too, but I can only speak for myself in that I just really felt like nobody was there to, like, indoctrinate me with all of these things that are to be, like, passed down. It was just like, wow, let's see who this person is and then let's celebrate it.
Right.
And so I really felt loved. You know, there's conditional love and then there's unconditional love. And I feel and have always felt loved unconditionally.
I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
One thing is that I didn't have an expectation that you would be, you know, this certain religion or believe something in exactly the way that I did. I think that's true. Mm-hmm. And so we just kind of let you be who you were. And you and Patrick are both different drummers. And then you come from different drummers, and we come from different drummers. So we don't have an expectation.
There's
you're
going to
be a doctor,
really,
you're
going
to be a lawyer. If that's what you wanted to be, we would be 100% celebratory of it. But we get
boy,
left a lot of room.
Boy, that would be weird for me, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it be weird?
I just can't even. if we had someone sort of doing something normal, that would be abnormal.
Would be.
Yeah.
So I think there was some of that, and I think you had a certain amount of freedom, but had you ever needed to be pulled in really tight, I would have had zero problem pulling you in tight.
You're not afraid as a parent to say what you think or do what you think is right, but I think me and Patrick definitely took different things. Like, mm-hmm. I can say for me, you know, there were things that really worked for me. Like, I really appreciated that at a certain point it was like, I remember when I went to prom for the first time and you were like, I was like, so, you know, we're going to talk about curfew. And I was like, so when do I have to be home? And you were like, no, we're not going to do that. Like, you tell me when you think is a fair time And I think that's what a lot of things between us were, is like deciding what is fair. So then I really felt responsible to think about, okay, well, what's fair to me and what's fair to you? And then we decided on a time. I think it was something like 2 a.m., which seems very fair. And then, you know, I felt really responsible always when we did that, where it's like to get home at the latest at the time that we agreed upon. But that doesn't work for every kid. It worked for me, and you know, but there are all kinds of different things that help a kid take responsibility for what, you know, what they're doing. But I think the point is that me and Patrick were parented differently, probably because you understood that we needed different things,
right?
And you were really aware and attuned, and you were listening to us rather than just trying to put some mold on us that you had come up with.
My parents always, I mean, I really learned from my mom, if you expect everything to be equal between the siblings, it's not going to be. Mm-hmm. So just throw out this idea that if you get a pair of socks, you get a pair of socks. We're going to help each of our kids in whatever way, you know, that they need it. And it could be different for different ones. And that was really, that was so great, because I just grew up knowing, well, no, things aren't going to be fair. So mm-hmm. don't expect it. You know, you guys had different temperaments, and I definitely needed to parent you guys in different ways. Some things that were important to me is keeping your word. So yeah. If you say to me, yeah, it seems like, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning is fair, I expect you to keep your word. And it's not that a person could never call and say, hey, I'd like to change that agreement because of whatever, but I wouldn't expect I give you a 2 o'clock curfew and you roll in at 3:30.
Right.
I mean, that I wouldn't expect that. The other thing for my kids that I've always expect is there's a way I expect you to speak to me. And even if it's like, my thing is like, oh, if you don't feel like you like me today, that's okay. You can, you know, go complain about me to whoever, but I do expect to be treated with respect. It's
yeah.
like, I demand that. So
yeah.
to the extent that I didn't receive that, then there would be a problem. And I think we might have remembered a time where Patrick got his bedroom door taken off.
He did.
Yeah.
I
there
do
was a
remember.
Period where,
I think
yeah.
you and Patrick probably had more of a rub there than me and you.
He took me through some times. We
I
love
feel like
him,
I
but...
probably remember, I think there have been very few times where I've spoken to you in a way where, I remember there was one time where you were, where you, I said something, I don't even remember what I said, but you were, you know, it was something like, I would have never said that to my mom. Oh, my God, I remember
right,
it.
Right.
Because, you know, when your mom's mom is dead and you're like, spin, then, you know, they don't have a mother and you're saying something that they would have never said to their mother, who was like the most fabulous person ever, too. It's just like, oh, God, that's horrifying that I just
okay.
did that.
Yeah. You can't say it every day, but when you use it. But, yeah, there was a period, and we're not going to get into it, there was a period where Patrick was having a hard time following what we'd agreed to. And it was like, and if that happens in your room, you will lose the privilege of that door, and understand that I mean it. And the door was gone for 6 weeks. I mean, it was.
Oh, it was quite a period of time.
Yeah, it was quite a period of time. Anyways, it all worked out.
You know, that was creative. You know what? That was creative thinking.
So I want to ask you a question.
Please.
And we're just going to speak briefly about this, but people, you know, they come on my page. They want to know about your dad. They want to, you know, and we're lucky because we were dear friends before we got married. We're dear friends now. We shared kids and
How long
shared a life.
You've known each other since you were 5 or something?
Yeah, like 7 years old. So your dad and I have known each other, and he knew my
Pretty
parents. And, you know, I love that. And I know his parents are still here. So tell us a little bit about your dad.
My dad is fabulous. We, people wonder, like, are we all friendly? We're all very friendly. My parents talk on the phone probably as much as I talk to my parents. So, and he lives in Palm Springs, which is quite near me. So we see him pretty often, and he lives with his boyfriend there, and he teaches yoga, and he works with sort of rehab. He works at a rehabilitation center, and he teaches some Life Quest intensives, and he teaches yoga teachers how to teach yoga. And he does things sort of all over the world. He travels, and he is a really fun, he's just a great guy.
He's fun. And you guys are, it's nice because you guys live closer to him than you live to me. And, you know, there were some years he lived on the East Coast. So it's fun that you guys are all living in the same place. And
it's really fun. We get
to share time. And he still does lovely things for me. Like, he makes me some really nice necklaces. And because
he's very artistic.
He's creative. He's like a Renaissance man. He just kind of does all that kind of stuff. So
that is
still
true.
I send him things and say, Stephen, could you restring this for me? Or he'll find a cool Buddha for me because I love Buddhas. And he'll make me cool.
He's one of those people, like when Pat and I were setting up our houses, you know, like he just, you know, you could say I have a problem with the plumbing to can we go out and get some more Tupperware? It could be anything. He just knows how to do anything. He hung all the art in our thing. And seeing somebody hang art, I actually didn't know what was involved. And, you know, going the distance from the top of the frame to the picture hanger to the this to the that. And then, you know, adjusting it by a millimeter. It was like, how does somebody just know how to do this? I don't know. But he's just, he's one of the most fun people
I've ever met.
He's so fun.
It's very fun. And of course, we've gone through so many different, you know, places in our parenting. So it's like Dad and I were married for, I don't know, 18 years for a very long time.
Something like that. Yeah.
And, you know, then there was a period where he lived on the West Coast or on the East Coast and I lived in Chicago and we, you know, parented together, but, you know, but apart. And now he's closer to you guys and he spends more time. So, you know, and here's the thing, you go through different phases. I mean, that's just what it is. And now we've got kids that are 21 and 25. So what's required of us is different. But whenever he's with you guys, he's very inclusive and brings me in.
Oh, he so is. And, you know. Pretty much. And I would have to say there is, I've seen Dad get excited about nothing as much as I have seen him get excited about your career. And 100%. No Crumbs Left. He is like the OG No Crumbs Left fan. He's a super fan.
He's pretty Let's much. Face it. He's like, we're not lying.
He's fanboying. All the time.
He pretty much is.
He's like, you know, did you read Mom's new article on the blah, 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 blah? I mean, he's like obsessed. He's like your biggest fan. He'll be telling me things about you that you've done that, didn't you watch the stories? You know, where I'm like, okay. Yeah. He's really.
He never misses them.
He doesn't. So I love that.
Let me just switch gears, and I want to ask a question. People do ask us, is it weird that your mom is more on social media than you are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
tell us about
that. The only thing I can really compare it to is my perception of other people, and then my dad, who, like, has just discovered boomerangs, and, like, all he can do is... Oh, I remember there was a period when Dad, he didn't understand that, like, there's a like button on Facebook, so on all of my photos, he would just comment, I like this. I like this. I like this. And I would come to you and be like, Mom, you have to help because Dad's doing this embarrassing thing. And you'd be like, that is just so embarrassing. And then now, I mean, there's that end of the spectrum and him posting like 7 boomerangs a day with his friends like jumping over a fountain. Or there's you where you're like, you like control all of Instagram with your pinky finger. So that is what I have to compare it to. And then there's other people, you know, there's how you used to be too, which was like you would just like aggressively like tap the iPhone with your index finger and like hope that you were typing a message. And
I've had to learn a thing or two. And let's face it, I know a lot about Instagram, the algorithm, things work, hashtags, because I'm self-taught and I've made it.
You could major in the algorithm.
I know a lot. This is just on one subject, I know a lot.
Yeah. But it is weird. And people do ask this to me all the time whenever I meet people my age especially, and, you know, I'll be, like, in improv class, and then at a certain point, they'll find the No Crumbs Left Kid Instagram, and then they'll realize, you know, what's up, and then they'll go to your page, and they'll be like, so what is going on? Like, your mom's, like, a social media influencer, and I'll be like, yeah. And it's just, it's like what it seems like. You are an expert in your field. And it is surely odd to be a millennial with a mother who could, you know, you could just own me 3 times over with your knowledge of Instagram.
There you go.
Yeah.
I got to keep some of that in my pipe and smoke it, as they say.
Wow. Never even heard them say
you've
that
never,
one.
You've never heard I'm going to put that in my pipe and smoke it?
I'm going to put that in my pipe and smoke it. Yeah, that should be the... theme song for this podcast.
Yeah, well, we're working on a theme song. By the way, if anybody has an idea of a great song,
I just did
that
one.
I can do. Well,
I thought it was so.
Yeah, I don't think we're gonna be using that one, but I'm definitely looking for music for the beginning of the podcast.
Let's talk about another question.
Okay,
people ask me this all the time. I think let's answer it here.
Okay,
for once and for all, talk about the diamond ring. People see the diamond ring, they're like,
"Oh my God,
are you engaged?
Okay, I like
What's
it.
The deal?
Okay,
tell like me it. About that."
This is what people ask. So I'm not engaged, mostly because I don't want to be engaged, and I'm in a long-term partnership with a man that I've been with nearly 11 years. We're super happy together, but we each have our own lives, and we've got our own kids, and We live in two different places, but we're mostly together. And this lovely ring I have. So there's two rings, right? So there's a ring that my mom had that we loved so much, and it was just infused with her love. And before she died, my dad was a generous and lovely man, bought three sort of similar stones that he gave to the sisters. I'm one of two sisters. And then, you know, I made a beautiful ring with it. My sisters made a necklace. It was lovely. So my mom died, and there was still the problem of the ring, and what are we going to do with the darn ring? Mm. Of course, I wanted it. They didn't say, well, you go ahead and take it. So anyways, and I'm speaking tongue-in-cheek, but not really. My sisters and I made a decision that we would share the ring, and every year and a half, you get the ring, and you wear it and enjoy it, and then you rotate.
Yeah.
And so recently, I've had the ring, you know, and recently, the last year and a half, I gave it to my sister who has it. So when the ring comes, it's the greatest thing in the world because it's like my mom, she arrives on the doorstep and it's just like you are so happy because it's infused with their love. And when you say goodbye to the ring, it's a little bit hard.
Had to do that recently.
Yeah, recently. It was hard, but you know what? It's hard for like a week. And then you're like, when you see the ring on your sister, you feel really good. And the ring normally arrives in your life just when you need it. Yeah. You know, the last year and a half, I've been working on a special project. It's been an enormous amount of hours and stress. Secret project. And it came just during it. And it was my mom just being with me, riding the wave the whole time.
She's just shown up.
So, but here's the thing I want to say, because people ask this. It's like, Roy and I aren't married because we don't want to be married. We totally love each other. We have the greatest relationship. And we have a real romance. And I've been married. I have my kids. I have my home. So I don't see a reason to get married. And, but we're crazy mad in love with each other is all we can say, you know?
Wasn't that wonderful?
Can I ask you something?
So you want to ask
just
me?
Talk for a minute about this. Last night, Roy did a live.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, my God, yeah.
What do you want to say about it?
Well, Roy is a man of very few words. Mm-hmm. I remember one of the first stories we ever got him to do. You were saying, Roy, like, what's the deal with that pasta over there? Tell us about that pasta. And he just looks and he says, pesto, pasta, shrimp. And when he says that, you feel like, oh, of course, duh, you know, pesto, pasta, shrimp. That's all that needed to be said, really. But he's just like that. He's just, and he's also a Renaissance man. He's like, really knows about everything. He knows the most interesting things. So I'm sure I didn't see the live, but I'm sure it was, I was watching a movie about aliens with
Patrick.
Okay,
perfect. That's what you guys would do. So can I set it up for you? So I say to him, will you help me out? Because you are the turkey expert. People want to know, and we're going to do these stories. What happens is the Instagram isn't working yesterday. The stories aren't working. It takes hours to load like 10 stories. So I'm like, it's not going to work because it has to be a body of work together. So I make a decision that we're doing a live, and I make a decision. I'm not going to quite say it. I'm going to imply it, but I'm not going to say it. So I'm like, we're going to sit here together. I'm going to ask you questions. I'm going to interview you. He goes, okay, great. So we get them all set up. And then I go live. And first of all, you have to go on, Lucy. Everyone can't because it already happened. But you have to go on and watch the beginning of the live because knowing me, you're going to know how hard I'm laughing. So I just sit down, and I'm like, Roy. And then I go like this, and I go, I'm going live. And he goes, in the background, he goes, wait a minute, this is a live? You didn't say this is a live. We're doing a live? I'm like, we're doing a live because we can't talk about turkey in 15-second increments. So I do the thing, and I get him on, and he's fantastic because while he's quiet, he is a man of many, many words on many subjects, and he gets talking about turkeys, and he's, you know, he's funny. He's just unbelievably funny.
He
and
is
insightful.
So funny. Yeah.
And people, like, they go crazy. They love him. They're like, we love Roy. You've let Roy out of the box. We want a weekly show. We want a podcast. So anyways,
we're like, no crumbs left, Roy.
It was fun.
Yeah.
And I just want to say long term, I'd love to have a show on CNN with Roy where we are cooking together, traveling together.
On CNN?
It's just a fantasy of like what. But here's the thing. I've made a lot of things happen that have been a fantasy. So I just want to say that is my, I'm materializing that. Just so you know, that is my heart's desire.
Putting that out into the universe.
Putting it out. Maybe but let's
could,
get back to
maybe
you.
Maybe I could moonlight. I'll be a guest.
You could do. We'll do something.
Yeah. So, let's get back to me. So, can I tell a funny story?
Tell a funny story. Anything you want.
Yeah. Okay. So there was one time where my mom was talking on the phone, and maybe I said this. Oh no, I think we were just talking about it. My mom was talking on the phone with somebody, and you know, you can hear she's talking about me. She's starting to describe me, and the person's asking about me, and oh, she's in school, and this and that, and then I hear the person go, well, how old is she? And I just hear my mom go, well, she's my age. And then the conversation sort of continues, and my mom goes, wait, did I just tell you she was my age? And I'm, you know, when she says she's my age, I'm sitting there thinking, oh, God, she must not be talking about me, because that doesn't fit my description at all. But I pretty much think that's a funny story that encapsulates our relationship is, oh, she's my age. It's like we're sisters sometimes.
We're probably a little bit codependent. I don't want to like, yeah. Probably a little bit. And then there's a real codependency when I'll be calling you No Crumbs Left.
Oh, my God.
Which is a very regular thing.
It happens every day.
Right.
Yeah.
Or I tag myself, meaning to tag you.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I tag Noah Cyrus, meaning to tag you. So it's...
I love it.
Many interesting things happening. Funny stories. Animal funerals. What do you have to say about animal funerals?
Well, here's the thing. We grew up in a family where you couldn't really have regular animals because...
You did?
Or, well, oh. You.
God. Well, you're saying we grew up like we're growing up at the same time period.
Well, okay, there you go. Well, here it's happening again right now. We're having a codependent moment. So in our house, we couldn't have animals because Patrick was seriously allergic and my mom was allergic and I wasn't going to be having animals and my mom over. So it was always like tricky. Your kids, they love animals. You can't have a dog. What do you do? So, you know, we had the turtles and we had a parrot. And then we got to the hamsters, which, I mean, nobody in the world just loved anything more than you loved your hamsters.
Well, I was also simultaneously extremely afraid of them.
Well, they're frightening.
I loved them, but I had just a deep-seated fear. So I would use gardening gloves. We called them the hamster gloves.
Yes.
And I would I would just be so proud. I had it was like a masculinity complex around it almost, around like showing off my hamsters to people when they came over. And holding the hamster, and there was just, I can't even describe it. But
And there was losing the hamster getting lost in the house, and where's the hamster? And there's like a panic about finding it.
Yeah,
and
the hamster going under the stove.
What are we
going
to get? I slept on the floor at night by the stove in case the hamster came out. I mean, there would be no bounds. That's one thing about me. In terms of things,
you were so good at.
I might be shouting.
Like
I don't mean to be, but there would be no bounds that I wouldn't like if, you know, we had to sleep on the floor because we're looking for the hamster. You know, things like
or
that.
Or Inky. Tell a story about Inky. Inky is my.
These Inkies.
They're octopi. They're Beanie Babies that are octopi. They're my stuffed animal. I got like 20 of them when I was born because it was my favorite stuffed animal.
We had to get more because you would lose them. I mean, you would do something like you would hide the animal.
I have a little bit of
so
a problem,
awful.
To be honest. I still do this. When Cece's out of the house, it's bad because she's got a 9-to-5 job. So that means that there is a whole host of hours for me to hide things from myself, and she can't find them. You know, there are things, there's something happens in my brain, I can't describe it, that goes, you know what would be great? What is so smart for me to take this remote and just put it in this little pocket by the windowsill. I'll remember that and I'll think that it's just so smart. I do stuff like that and I'll find it and I'll be like, oh yeah, there it is after like 4 hours of looking for it. And it'll just be like, what's wrong with you? I don't know if other people do this, but I always did it.
You would lose your Inky and then where are we going to find it? It was like your life. It was just your best friend in the world. And we put up posters all over the neighborhood, you know, $100 reward if you bring back Inky, who is like mangled with like, because no one wants Inky but a dog. I mean, because it's like the tentacles are just like they're half gone.
Yeah. I had a hierarchy too. So there's favorite Inky and second favorite Inky and third favorite Inky.
Yeah, and you've lost them at like at horrible moments where it's like, I always say, please bring this on this vacation. Please, I have a horrible feeling.
My mom
doesn't
let me leave the house with Inky, and I brought two of them home this trip, and she was like, Lucy, you didn't tell me that you brought Inky home.
Well, you've lost two in moments of like real crisis that we never got back. And as a mother, knowing how much your heart loved Inky.
It was kind of a beautiful moment because the night before college. No, I did.
I almost want to start to cry when
but
I think
the night
about
before
this.
College, we were staying in a hotel and we pack up and I've got all my stuff in bags. And then we get to my college room, first day of college. and I'm moving in, and the one thing I don't have is Inky. And we called the hotel. I mean, my mom called every day for months.
I called every day, offered rewards, went back, met with housekeeping. Yeah.
And at a certain point, I think you remember it as I was distraught, but
you
really
were distraught after it happened
because
you
were
hating
college.
You were
very distraught.
You were too, and you're like, this would make me feel better if I just had Inky, because you were very unhappy at the beginning at school.
Yeah,
so
it was.
I of course I overreact. I'm your mother. I mean, I'm a very passionate
and then
person.
She like overnighted me one.
Well, I overnighted you, not a favorite Inky.
Yeah,
it was like tertiary Inky.
Inky.
It was like the least important Inky in the world. Of course I overnighted you.
But
have you ever met me?
But on animal funerals, we had these hamsters.
Yeah,
no, we love to get off track.
Okay.
And we had Caramel, and then we had Butterscotch, and then we had Henry. Henry, our beloved hamster. We loved Henry. And so we would have these funerals, and I would make a handwritten thing, like sort of, it was like an invitation, but it also had drawings.
Yeah,
like,
well, it was sort of like
drawings.
We want to announce, we want to, there's been a passing, and
our
we're having
a beloved hamster.
Yeah, and we're having a celebration of life.
Yeah.
And people would come, and we would have like bittersweet cupcakes, and yeah.
And yeah, we would bury them in the backyard.
Yeah.
After keeping them in the freezer for a long time.
Yeah,
so
yeah, we kept them in the freezer
people
because
thought we were sort of psychopaths.
Yeah, but we really weren't.
Yeah, we really were just very normal.
Yeah, we're normal.
That's us, normal people.
We're different drummers, yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the angels, I'm a spiritual being.
Okay.
So there was this card. You got to talk about the card because I don't even really
know
where you got
it. It's like a beautiful poem, and the idea is you want a beautiful poem or prayer for your kids. And yeah. I like this because I love the idea of faith, and I definitely believe in the power of prayer. So we had a beautiful meditation, and we I used it in a class I was actually teaching, too. But it was just like a little beautiful prayer to have, to know, to carry, and to use, you know, through your
life.
Yeah,
and I remember every night, sometimes Dad would do a thing where we lit a candle, and we would say everybody that day that we were thankful for and sending blessings to. So we would say, you know, I'm thankful for Mom, and I'm thankful for Patrick. And it could just be that girl who I met on the street today who was smiling at me. You know, it could be anybody. And then we would blow out the candle, and the prayer went like this. I'm an infinite being. I'm a spiritual being infinitely loved by God, protected by my angels, and I walk in the path of peace.
And mine was a little different.
But
yeah,
I had, but I, yeah, yours was.
Mine was also surrounded by light.
Oh, surrounded
by
light.
And I walk in the path of peace. And then it would be like, Om Shanti Shanti.
Yes. Okay.
So let's do it again.
So
I'm a spiritual being infinitely loved by God, protected by my angels, surrounded by light, and I walk in the path of peace.
Shanti, shanti, om. That's actually what it was. Yep. But how I remember it was that I made another version.
I love this. It's even better.
I'm a spiritual being head, infinitely loved by dogs, protected by my ankles, and I walk in a path of peace.
It's good. I love it.
I said it. I mean, I love to say it. Say it and say it and say it. Do we have any more questions? Like, is there anything that you won't teach me to make?
Okay. Well, that's a good question. I mean, no, absolutely not. I mean, first of all, you've just started to cook. So I'm blown
and
away.
I've only this week started to admit that I actually like it.
Yeah. I mean, you've caught the fever, and I love that. And really, I didn't catch the fever until I got out of my house, until I lived on my own. So I absolutely love that you've caught the fever. There is nothing that I wouldn't teach you. There is one thing that I will only teach you when you have kids. And
what
that
if I
is,
never have kids?
Well, then you will never learn.
The special water?
Yeah, it's the magic sleeping water. So at night, if you couldn't sleep, you come down and say, Mom, I can't sleep.
I just feel like it's vodka.
And I would make you, it absolutely wasn't, and I would make you the magic sleeping drink.
Magic
and it was the magic sleeping
water.
Drink that my mother would make me also when I was a little girl.
So,
and you stir it up, you put it in.
It's really not just water.
It's absolutely not just water, and it's a magic sleeping drink. And I will absolutely never tell you. It's only something as a mother that I would pass on to you.
But I'm a mother to Inky.
Yeah, too bad.
Yeah.
Remember, you and Patrick would like beg me. You would absolutely beg me.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we would love. Oh, and I remember when you would go, when like a babysitter would, you guys would go out for like a date night. Oh, my God. I needed so much mental preparing to leave from you. And it was like, I love Dad, but I didn't really, it was more that you were leaving. It was like, when your mom leaves, it's just like probably the worst thing ever. It's like the worst thing ever.
Yeah, it totally is the worst thing ever. I always felt like that, and you were so much like me, where it was like always really, really
tragic.
Yeah, hard. I was the same way. My mother
Titanic
left.
The Titanic is sinking.
My mother left. I would have to like sleep in her bed and in her pajamas because it was so painful for me. Yeah. And I remember.
You would set me up with things like that. You would be like, you're going to wear this sweater and here's my pair of socks and you can take these. And you had,
Oh, yeah. It would be like when I traveled, it would be like you might not come out of your room or something.
Oh,
it was,
God. Yeah.
It was very, very upsetting for
and
me, too.
Tell us, that got me thinking. Do you have a present closet, Mom? Tell us about the present
closet. Well, I do have a present closet, but it's not very full now. Now, my mother had a present closet.
Yeah.
And what that means is you have some lovely little presents stuck away. Mm-hmm. And then on a rainy day, I mean, you might need one or it might be like a friend or whatever, but you have a present closet.
Yeah, as well.
Everyone
does.
Has one. And and it's really a part of a closet where you put little presents and stuff.
You also have a part of a closet. I don't know if this is the present closet, but as a very neat freak, I think this is fun. You have a part of the closet that's just travel, like cosmetics and travel containers. So if I like need my shampoo to be in a tiny little container, you just have every size that you could want.
I do. So I collect those little things. And it's like before you're traveling, what you might need is like little toothpaste and everything from like some little cleanser to face stuff to little toothbrush. And then I have a little bag where when I travel, I can just grab that bag and it has my face products in it. And
your
I travel enough.
Bag.
It's just like you take your to-go bag.
Like an FBI agent.
But then you can look through there and, you know, things like that.
Okay, well.
Well, we sure like each other and this has sure been fun.
I want to close with something.
Okay, please do.
Okay. So sometimes, like we were talking about earlier, how when there was one time when I, whatever I said, and you said I would never say that to my mom. But at some points in my life, you have given me certain advice as a person who doesn't have a mom anymore. And so do you have any of those things? Like, what would you say about really, for people that do have a mom, there are people have all kinds of relationships, whether they're close or they're not close, or they haven't spoken to their mom in 20 years, or they see their neighbors with their mom. What would you say? What is some of your wisdom that you might have to offer about
moms? This is good. So part of what I want to say is that, sometimes we're lucky enough to be born in a family where we have a fantastic mother, and sometimes we're not. And if for whatever reason you're not, it's like go out there and create the mothering that you need. There is so much mothering available on the planet, and surround yourself with a circle of wonderful female friends that, support and love you and for men also, it's like definitely find mothering energy. I think I represent it for a lot of people that I am that mothering energy. So I was lucky to have this fabulous mother. And so I love and embrace, that. And if you're lucky enough to have that, ask the family questions. I mean, there's all kinds of things I want to know now. How did you feel when this happened? And how did you feel when that happened? And when you went through menopause, how did you feel? And when your kids left? I mean, there are things I want to know now. There are things that I want to know. So my thing is, ask those family questions, find out about your people. And if you aren't lucky enough to have that, don't lament it.
Yeah.
And don't beat yourself about it. And don't feel not enough. It's like, go out there in the world. It's a big, wide world. Go find your people. Find the mothering energy. I have to find it every day. My mom's gone 18 years. And I'm surrounded by some wonderful women in my kitchen, like a Lucy Kay and like a Joanna who mother me and love me and just welcome that in and drink it up and, pay it forward.
Okay, now I have one last question.
Okay.
And we can both answer it.
Okay,
so great. I'll answer
fantastic.
First. So I love that. We love to answer questions.
Yeah.
So the question is, if you could go back and tell yourself when you were younger something, what would you say?
I would say it's all going to work out.
Yeah.
It's all going to work out. You don't need to worry about any of that. All that BS about not feeling enough or not feeling like you're pretty enough or thin enough or you're not whatever. It's like that is some made up thing that is just a bunch of BS. And it's just like carry forward and just carry forward and do it.
And that's what I like, because usually I feel like when people answer that question, it's some version of it's all okay. It's all going to work out okay. And that same for me is like I wish I could show myself a picture, because all I wanted was short hair. I wish I could show myself, my younger self, a picture of me now and be like, look, it's going to be so great. You're going to be so cool. You're going to, you're going to follow your dreams, and it's going to be hard and awesome and joyous, and you'll find love, and you'll love your family so much, and it's going to be okay.
Well, I love this thought, and this will be our closing thought, is this idea that it's all going to work out in the end.
Yeah.
And if it hasn't worked out, then it's not the end. And I believe that wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
So Thanks so much for joining me here. We came in having no idea what we were going to talk about.
I'd say we are pretty fun and entertaining.
I'd say we did it. So if you're looking for Lucy, you can go find her over at No Crumbs Left Other Kid. A regular.
No, that's not my name, but that you can find my brother there.
Lucy, that's me. But I didn't find a moment. Yeah. So if you're looking for Lucy, you can find her at No Crumbs Left Kid.
Just look up No Crumbs Left and I'll be somewhere. Yeah.
And you can find me at No Crumbs Left on Instagram, Facebook, or the blog. Thanks so much for joining us and make it a great day.
Bye.